Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Launched a new series. This is the fourth installment. And it really came out of a couple of Facebook notifications, Facebook messages simultaneously from friends reminding me about the Parliament of World Religions, which took place a few months back in Toronto, Canada. It's all about interfaith movements, all about trying to help bring together the world's religions, the false religions of the world together in harmony. And I think definitely one of the building blocks for helping to bring about Mystery Babylon, the Great Harlot, in Revelation 17. And we have been looking actually at, again, one of what I think is one of my favorite and most relevant topics. It's one of my favorite because I think it's so relevant because of the times we're living in these last days, because it is a Bible prophecy theme, and that is the one world religion that is to come. And then, of course, we will be looking also at the one world government, which will involve a one world economy. All these things that are revealed to us in Scripture, particularly in the book of Revelation, but in other parts of Scripture as well. Now, I was commenting on the first of three recent events that I felt were very significant and needed to be commented on because the standard MS, the standard mainstream media, MSM, there's the word I'm looking for. You get confused with these acronyms of different fake news channels and such. You don't hear a lot about these things on your average, busy people with families and jobs and different things going on. Don't always hear some of these stories that are going on in the background, but they're there, they're very real, they're very relevant. And I think it's good that you folks that are listening have that interest so that you can be a part of warning people of the coming of Christ and the coming of Antichrist and all the things that are going to transpire one day. We don't know exactly when, and I would never set a date. But we can see the building blocks. We can see the things taking place. We can see, as I say, some of the recent events, very recent events, and this has been one, the Parliament of World Religions. I will actually later in my series, I think I'll be commenting on one more article from the Parliament of World Religions. But at this point in time, I've shifted to one of the partners with the Parliament of World Religions, and that is the John Templeton Foundation. And they've been around for quite some time and are very involved in being friendly with and working together with many false religions and very many undiscerning, or at least I would say, at least a few undiscerning, high-profile Christian, so-called evangelical Christian leaders. Unfortunately, the lack of discernment is appalling, especially among those who should know better. But then we don't know who's really a Christian and who's not. Only God knows for sure, and that's why we must test all things, like the Scripture tells us. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Even Paul, the great apostle, was tested by the Bereans, not on the basis of what Paul felt or what he said or showed in terms of some miracle or what reputation he had, but he was tested by what he was saying. Is it according to the Scriptures? And they were called noble to do that. They were willing to give him a shot. Let's see if this could be according to the Scriptures. And that's what we all must do, more so than ever in these last days, when so many people are promoting experience-oriented, not just religions, but Christianity. That it's all about what you feel, what you see, what kind of signs or wonders or miracles that happen, as opposed to what saith the Word of God. What does God's Word say? How do we guard ourselves from deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons if we don't know the true doctrines? If we don't know the essential doctrines of the Christian faith, how do we defend ourselves against these demonically inspired doctrines that God told us very clearly would come? Christ warned us, Paul warned us, Peter warned us, John warned us. God's word warns us. And so that's why I'm here tonight. I hope that's why you're here, is that we can be more discerning, learn more about discernment and about the deception that's in the last days that we see all around us, those of us who have an eye to see and an ear to hear. And so we've been looking at this group and their involvement with the John Templeton Foundation. And I've been reading an article. I only got through the first three paragraphs, really. I knew I wouldn't make it. It's a big article, but it's a very good article by a woman by the name of Berit, B-E-R-I-T, K-J-O-S. And I heard her speak in California many years ago, and she's written some really good books, done a lot of really good research. And I'm not good sometimes at pronouncing some people's names, so I spell it for you. The title of the article we've been looking at last week was called Merging Religion and Mystical Science. And boy, there's a whole lot of that going on, isn't there? The Templeton Foundation, that's the subtitle, you know, Merging Religion and Mystical Science, the Templeton Foundation. That's what they're doing. And we talked about their involvement with the Unity School of Christianity cult. But let's read on. Sir John Templeton, founder of the Templeton Prize, dies age 95. This is probably from a newspaper article. That's probably why it's quoted that way. And here's a quote. Templeton was known for starting mutual funds annual meetings with a prayer. He explained that the devotional words were not pleas for financial gain, but rather meditations to calm and clear the minds of managers and stockholders. The annual Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion grew out of the philanthropist's belief that honors equivalent to Nobel Prizes should be bestowed on living innovators in religious action and thought. Mother Teresa of Calcutta received the first prize in 1973. Now, I hope Mother Teresa got saved before she died and received the most important prize, because it's very possible she didn't know Christ. You know, she was a Catholic who did a lot of things that many of us wouldn't have wanted to do in trying to care for people with the terrible disease that they had and all in India. But anyway, that's another study. That's something for another study. If you look into Mother Teresa, and she's a sacred cow. And so, oh, Mother Teresa, no, how could you say? All I can say is, if you study out her life, what he said, what she said, what she believed, you have to wonder if this Catholic nun ever really met Christ. Anyway, she received the prize in 1973. She even, in her diaries and journals, wondered if she was actually demon-possessed. Kind of reminds me of Muhammad, you know, in Islam. He had concerns that he might have been possessed. Other winners, and remember, Satan comes as an angel of light, according to the Bible. So when a good woman doing good things for good people, or, you know, for people that are suffering people, etc., so-called good person does these things, remember, Satan comes as an angel of light. And people can do good things. False religions are based on works. You know, good works. Hey, I'm doing this good thing, you know, so I can get in good with God, so I can work my way to heaven with my good works. And that's what all religions are, except for a true faith and a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That is not based on any works that we do, of course. It's the finished work that Christ did on Calvary on the cross for us. So anyway, I always like to go over that information as often as I can and stress that to people, because we're all so prone to works and work salvation when it's not about works. Satan would have us believe it's about our works. Anyway, other winners include evangelist Billy Graham. Hindus, Jews, Buddhists, and Muslims have been on the panel of judges and have been recipients. The multi-faith framework of the prize calls for a clearer acceptance of the diversity of gifts within the major religions of the world. Again, the Parliament of World Religions. It seems like a no-brainer that these two organizations would work together. Templeton said in 1972. The multi-faith framework of the prize calls for a clear acceptance of the diversity of gifts within the major religions of the world, Templeton said in 1972. Alive today are other persons to whom God is revealing further holy truths. And I emphasize further holy truths. Well, the Bible is a closed canon of Scripture, and all the holy truths that we need about God are in that book. Further holy truths being revealed by God. that ain't going to happen. It's not happening. The Course in Miracles, that's not from God. That wasn't Jesus that was being channeled through that woman. But anyway, I digress. In 1968, Templeton renounced his American citizenship to avoid taxes. I'm going to skip that. A bridge over other waters. Few have done as much to promise a sense of unity among the world's religions than John Marks Templeton. Here we go. The Council for a Parliament of World Religions promotes interreligious dialogue and plans for the world's spiritual future by having government institutionalize a global ethic. Sir John Templeton serves on the Parliament of World Religions Board of Trustees, or he did until he died. Of course, his organization, as I say, is still hooked up with them. Christianity Today introduced Templeton's book, Discovering the Laws of Life, to a Christian audience in 1994. Excuse me. They assigned the entire back cover to its April 24th, 1994 issue with an ad promoting it. The ad contained the endorsements of Norman Vincent Peale, who also wrote the foreword, Robert Schuller, Billy Graham, and J. Peter Grace, who was the head of the Knights of Malta. Templeton's beliefs are clearly expressed in his numerous writings. He is an evolutionist, pantheist, universalist, and has occultic views. His writings display a rejection of the God of the Bible. Christ is the only way to God. He claims that heaven and hell are states of mind that we create here on earth, that truth is relative, and that Christianity is no longer relevant today as it was in Christ's day. And I'm looking for, on the first page, where that was mentioned about the Unity School of Christianity, that they also... Templeton was influenced by Unity, which takes a non-literal view of heaven and hell. And so you see what Templeton himself said about his view of heaven and hell. and I love to laugh at my own jokes here. I'm sorry. He claims that heaven and hell are states of mind we create here on earth, that truth is relative, and that Christianity is no longer relevant today as it is in Christ's day. And I wrote, but other than that, he seems like a real nice guy. He was a real nice heretic, folks. Real deceived and a real blind leader of the blind. Moving on. Patrons of the evangelical mind. Other major foundations with mainline Protestant roots, though not specifically targeting evangelicals, have funded the work of evangelical scholars. One is the John Templeton Foundation. Templeton was raised a Cumberland Presbyterian, but he was also influenced by Unity, which teaches that all great religions embody part of ultimate truth and move toward that same goal. Now, it says he made his fortune as a Wall Street financier, but his deepest interest was trying to get science and religion to sit in the same room without throwing things at each other. And I wrote, now, if only he could have gotten the real God on board. On board, as in everybody, all the different religions all getting on board. And all the different people, science and religion, is sitting in the same room. Okay, he set up the Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion in 1972. The 1 million plus prize by design, always more than the Nobel Prize, has been religiously even-handed. In good Unity fashion, it has been awarded to preachers, activists, and scholars of many religions, including evangelicals. Then, in 1987, Templeton set out to focus on establishing connections between religion and science, but also to explore the relationship between religion and health and promote character development. Okay, now here's a section, Rick Warren and Templeton's Power of Purpose. I won't go into a lot of detail here, but I just want to make some notes, points. The Power of Purpose Awards, a worldwide essay competition. Many religious traditions, both Eastern and Western, subscribe to the idea that there is something of God's presence in each of us. Even for the growing number of people who describe themselves as spiritual, but not necessarily religious, I've quoted that a few times. I am very spiritual, but not very religious. Like that's a good thing. Because what they're really inserting there is, but not very biblical, or not very fundamentalist, or, you know, you get the idea. I'm not like one of those Christians. There is a certain attachment to this concept of the divine spark. The Power of Purpose Awards, the judges. The award-winning essays in this competition will be selected by this distinguished panel of judges, all of whom have exemplified throughout their lives and careers a strong and unmistakable understanding of the power of purpose. Nancy Brinker, Hugh Delahanty, editor-in-chief of ARP Publications, Rick Warren, Paul Davies, Hugh Delahanty, Marion Wright Elderman, founder and president of Children's Defense Fund. Some of these names I'm not familiar with. Of course, Rick Warren I am. Meet the winner they selected. August Turek, working toward this miraculous transformation, rebirth, our inner alchemy is the true purpose of life. This transformation is what the West calls conversion, and the East, enlightenment. No, it's not. It may be what some people in the West call conversion. I'm inserting my own idea here. It may be what some people in the West call conversion, but if you're talking about conversion to Christ, a rebirth, a new birth, this he's talking about transformation and rebirth. He's not talking about Christian being born again rebirth, because it's not the same as the idea of Eastern enlightenment, you know, that inner enlightenment that comes through meditation and a passive mind, emptying the mind and being in an altered state of conscience and recognizing that your inner divinity, etc. And is the fruit of our commitment to the authentically purposeful life. What is purpose? In day-to-day life, we encounter men and women who seem driven by something outside of themselves, whose commitment to their profession or volunteer activities, their community, or their cause seems to rise above the necessary, above the possible, above even the human. Indeed, we say that in such people we see the divine spark. Now, you hear that all the time in Eastern religion, the divine spark, you know, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of mankind. We all have that divine spark. We're all brothers and sisters of God. No, we are not. We must be born again, we're told in the Bible, to become a child of God. Now, Rick Warren, as introduced on Templeton's Power of Purpose website, Rick Warren is the author of Purpose-Driven Life. He ignited a spiritual movement to countless communities around the world. Of course, Lighthouse Trails publishers have some good little booklets about Rick Warren and some of his bogus ideas that would be helpful if you obtain and read more about him, because we don't have time to go right now into our Rick Warren, except to say that he got a Doctor of Ministry from Fuller Theological Seminary. Now, there's something, and I wrote, the plot sickens. just because you go to Fuller Seminary doesn't mean you're a heretic. But if you get out of there and you don't become a heretic, good for you, because that is one messed up place. Really, once upon a time, I believe it was a good seminary, but has, you know, maybe a little bit like Princeton, which I mentioned before, I think in last week's podcast, it's gone the way of apostasy. Princeton, of course, was raised to train pastors and missionaries, as was Fuller. But anyway, I digress. The Templeton Foundation and Fuller Seminary. Oh, speak of Fuller Seminary. John Templeton Foundation, 20 distinguished neuroscientists, psychologists, biblical scholars, theologians, and educators will gather at the Lee Edward Travis Institute for Psychosocial Research at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California on October 5th and 6th, I don't know what year that was, for a research symposium on the science of wisdom and laws of life. I was actually on a plane at one time, and I was seated next to a gentleman that was going to speak, and he spoke highly of Fuller Seminary, and he was a unsaved psychologist, as I recall, and so that went over well. But anyway, you know, Fuller is seen highly in the eyes of many unsaved, what do you want to say, you know, educators, neuroscientists, for instance, psychologists, you know, a lot of the movers and shakers in the secular world that don't have spiritual rebirth. Yeah, they think Fuller's great. I think God would think it's more like an Ichabod might be added to the name. It is our hope this symposium will help to stimulate increased international interest and research on the study of wisdom and the laws of life, stated John M. Templeton, Jr. Fuller Seminary President Richard Mao, I've spoken about him in the past a lot, will give the keynote address on Monday evening, October 5th. I wish I knew which year that was. It's been some time ago. Previous symposia have been laid. And by the way, Richard Mao, he's the guy that he thought Mormons were actually probably Christians and had very liberal views of Scripture, etc., etc. You might want to do a search of Richard Mao if you don't know more about him. He's no longer the head of Fuller, but really a wolf in sheep's clothing for sure. Previous symposia have been held on the science of forgiveness and on the science of optimism. John Marks Templeton founded the foundation in 1987 to encourage progress in the moral and spiritual dimensions of life concerning human sciences, from stimulating new research to unlock the mysteries of spirituality in the human mind, using recent advances in neurobiology and to generating empirically based insights on the trends, patterns, and principles of spiritual growth during the college years. This area of the foundation focuses on the human person and Sir John Templeton's unyielding optimism. There is much to learn from examining scientifically the nature and benefits of such spiritual principles as creativity, gratitude, altruism, and purpose. And I might add, the Bible. That might have been a good place to do some study. But anyway, let's see. They mentioned something called MetaNexus, a scholarly organization funded by John Templeton Foundation, will award 20 grants of between $75,000 and $150,000 to specialists to study the process of spiritual transformation in a variety of contexts. Spiritual transformation is a dramatic change in world and self views. You know, some people might confuse that with being born again. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about spiritual transformation. That could be any number of religions and any number of spiritual experiences, and that anybody who would claim to say, you know, I'm very spiritual but not very religious might say. Anyway, what is enlightenment? This is committed to radical new ways of thinking. Foundation for Global Awakening, a series of commentaries from the founders and friends concerning crucial questions for a global awakening. Tish Van Camp and Alex Kochkin, and there's quotes from Teilhard de Chardin, who was basically a real New Age evolutionist, very popular in those camps. A new America, an awakened future on our horizon. New concepts are put forward, such as discernment. Okay, yeah. Discernment with compassion to bridge the illusory gulf between people. This book is dedicated to anyone who is an agent of higher purpose and positive change, and to everyone who has ever wondered about their own true nature. I would love to know what their redefinition of discernment is there, because if anybody doesn't have discernment, it's people that are involved with the John Templeton Foundation or the Parliament of World Religions. Now, we come to the Lilly Endowment. It says that gifts of stock in Eli Lilly Company, they were the financial bedrock of the endowment. Eli, the younger of the family, of the kids, also became the family philanthropist, and in 1936 pushed for creation of the family foundation called the Lilly Endowment. He was serious about Christianity, but mainly for its utilitarian role in helping to form better character. He was fond of books that repackaged the ethical teachings of Jesus in the psychological ideas of the day. How about just leaving the teachings of Jesus as they are to transform people's lives through being through a new birth and becoming children of God? But anyway, he wanted to repackage these ethical teachings for their utilitarian role and basically syncretize them in with the psychological ideas of the day, as though we need psychology. You know, we have the Word of God. Biblical counseling, I believe, is the way to go. In 1979, Lynn arranged a Lilly grant. I'm not sure who Lynn is. I'm sorry, I'm moving it. Robert Lynn, who was a director of another foundation, arranged a Lilly grant of $15,000 to Nolan Hatch. This was at Wheaton College for a conference on the Bible in American history at Wheaton College. Harold Lindzell, one of my heroes, and I mean that seriously, a Wheaton trustee, objected that some of the invited scholars weren't true evangelicals. Well, where have we seen that before nowadays? That's happening, you know, all over the place. But Wheaton Vice President Dave Johnson told Lindzell that scholarship did not demand ideological purity. Lynn was pleased with the outcome and followed up with $200,000 that launched the Institute for the Study of American Evangelicals. Harold Lindzell was a true hero. He wrote The Battle for the Bible. I'm reading this. I mean, I'm saying this myself. I'm not reading it. He was at Fuller Seminary in a high position and helped expose the inerrancy problem they had there in his book, Battle for the Bible. And here at Wheaton College, he spoke out saying, hey, these invited scholars, some of these guys aren't even evangelicals. And really, he probably meant they aren't even true Christians. And that's the case today with many evangelicals, I believe, that they don't even know the Lord. I don't like the term evangelical anymore. It's just, you know, so many people of all different stripes, including far-left liberal heretics, emerging church leaders, etc., would say, oh, yes, I'm a conservative evangelical, and that's just basically a lie. The Lilly Endowment also helped fund the Drucker Foundation, but more recently it has shown its support for Baptist leadership and pastoral training. Strangely enough, the two, Drucker's communitarian vision for the social sector and seminary training and community building, fit together. The article, Golden Gate Seminary Receives $300,000 Lilly Endowment Grant, tells us that the funds would provide hardware, software, renovations, and training needed to fully integrate up-to-date technology with the seminary's training program. This grant makes all the more sense in light of a new partnership between Golden Gate Seminary and Saddleback Church. And, of course, that's Rick Warren's church. I don't know how long ago this was in this article. The Baptist Seminary will build a new branch on the Saddleback campus to train church leaders to use the digital data tracking technology needed to meet and monitor community needs around the world. I'm almost through this article. Good. Works out really well here. Let's see if I can get this in. Patrons of the Evangelical Mind talking about the Pew Trusts. Now, this is a different thing, but let's just talk about it real quick. Sun Oil, the head of Sun Oil Company, was J. Hard Pugh, and he was supporting his philanthropic interest, supporting free enterprise against big government and supporting America's free enterprise form of Christianity, evangelicism. He gave a lot of money to parachurch groups like the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, World Vision, and Young Life. He also helped launch a couple of evangelical intellectual enterprises, Christianity Today and Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. I'll just say that, unfortunately, a few of those organizations, we know World Vision, a lot of the strange things that have happened with them, and I don't have time to go into details, so I'll just leave it at that. But there's obviously lots of problems within the professing church, the evangelical church, particularly these days. And looks like I'm going to be out of time now, but at least I made it through that excellent article, and I commend it to you. So, next week we will continue in this series describing the up-and-coming One World Religion and One World Government of the future that the Book of Revelation warns us of and tells us will strictly come. You know, the Book of Revelation, to God, it's a history book. Because he lives in eternity. To us, it's yet to come, but things are coming fast and furious, folks. So God bless you all. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. Hope you'll be with me next week. Good night.